All right, hang on. Stand by. Or say when. Are you ready?
You said say when.
All right. Do you want to do this? Are you ready?
When.
All right.
Damn it, Jim. So, this is HR Talk. I know you're excited. This is Ricky Baez and JC with you today. And just small advice, but it will mean a lot in the long run. Never underestimate an expiration date.
Ladies and gentlemen, prophetic words from the face of the franchise to start things off once yet again. Never underestimate an expiration. You do say it to your wife, don't you? Okay. Never underestimate an expiration date. It's kind of funny. This guy over here, face of the franchise, kicking things off on HR Talk. Holy smokes, I can't talk today. Ladies and gentlemen, yes, thank you. Thank you. I do what I can. I'm JC, wow. And across the bow in sunny central Florida, the man, the myth, the legend in the stretch Hyundai, Ricky Baez.
You know what? I'm a big Hyundai fan, so hopefully I can find a stretch Hyundai.
They really are good cars, though, are they, or are they not? I don't know. I mean, you're talking about, like, what, a 100,000-mile warranty on these things, right?
Yeah, but it's not the warranty, like, the one that normal cars get. There's different levels to it, right?
Yeah, so, no, I get that. I get that. But, like, looking at the value of it when you buy one of those, it's like $52,000 brand new, and then a year later on the used market, it's 12 grand. You know?
Yeah, that's a bad thing with imports. They don't hold up their value very well.
Lexus.
No. I mean, come on. Kia, Hyundai, they're okay. Honda's good, but some other imports don't hold their values as well. American cars.
Well, hang on a second here. I heard there's a problem with Hondas, though, where, like, if you park them around Orlando, they could wind up in Tampa with only the driver's side door left and nothing else on the car.
Are you ever going to let that down?
I love that story. I really do. And you've never told it on this show. I want to push you to tell that story, Rick. Is today the day?
I guess so. I mean, so now you're hyping it up, and it's not really that big of an interesting story.
It's a great story.
Okay. No, it's not. Okay, look, so fine. I used to have an old school, I don't want to say old school, it's a 2000 Honda Civic Si. And long story short, it got stolen in Orlando. Yeah, that's freaking hilarious. Yeah, so it got stolen in Orlando.
Yeah, but wait a second. This was around that time when I remember coming down to visit you, and we had some wings and stuff shipped down from Buffalo. They arrived in that styrofoam box. Do you remember that?
Wow.
Yes. It was going back a few years. And then you had this fancy thing, and you're pressing the buttons all the time, and your car's constantly going off. Like, if someone was walking down the street and sneezed, your car, that alarm would go off. And it reached a point where you're like, it's so sensitive, like a bird flies by, it goes off. So you just constantly, like, ignore it, right?
Correct. Well, this was at a time where smartphones were not invented. And when the alarm would go off, I'll have a little pager, and it'll page me and says, hey, well, it doesn't say hey, but it'll alert me that somebody's around my car. So it would happen so much that I would ignore it, completely ignore it. Anybody came by my car, a bird, a dog, it would just go off. And I completely ignore it. The one time I should not have ignored it, and I should have I should have paid attention, is the one time that the car was actually stolen. And I think so.
Someone RT'd that, didn't they?
No, they did not RT that. I'm not even going to get into that story. And then I think I called the cops, told them what happened, and obviously they were just like, you know, whatever, it's just another report. It's not like they're going to, you know, put all their resources to finding my Honda Civic. And I think it was a month later, one of the cops calls me and says, hey, we found a break in your case. And he said it like that, really, really sarcastically. And I'm like, oh, great. Yeah, what's going on? It's like, we found your car. So that's the good news. We found your car. I'm like, awesome.
Excellent.
I'm like, awesome. Where is it? He's like, it was somewhere in Tampa, but it's not drivable. I'm like, how? What do you mean it's not drivable?
Yeah.
He's like, well, we found the skeleton of the car. So we found the frame. The engine's gone. The rims are gone. Everything is gone. It was completely stripped. So I'm like, then how do you know it's my car? because apparently whoever took it, they chopped it up, they left the passenger side door. That's it. Nothing else. That's the only thing that was left. Man. And on the passenger side door is the VIN number, and that's when you find what kind of car that was. And I'm like, awesome. So like a burn victim, how you identify with the dental records, this car you identify with the one door with the VIN.
You're killing
awesome.
Me.
So yeah, anyway.
Terrible story. Terrible story.
Yeah, that's,
it sucks.
Well, that's the one you wanted to.
Yeah, no, I know. This, dude,
thanks
I feel,
a lot, asshole.
I still feel bad for you on that one, you know? It's
yeah.
fine, though.
So now I'm all pissed because, yeah, thanks. Now
yeah,
you're
well,
bringing
speaking
up-
about pissed, I did talk to a couple people this past week.
Really?
After the last few shows. And they did say that they thought that we're getting a little bit too political. So I want to address this real quick right here
really?
At the start of the show. Now that we got past some of the fun stuff, you know, when you're looking at the realm of business and you're talking about leadership styles, yeah, certain political influences could bleed through into the unconscious mind of an individual, I suppose. But we like to err on the side of good faith and caution in the sense that most leaders out there are out to do the right thing. They really are. No one okay. wakes up every day and just says, hey, I'm going to go ruin someone's life or I'm going to act this way towards someone. Or it doesn't matter what their political affiliation is. They wake up that day and they just really want to try to do good things. And sometimes small things set them off, or they might be in an old frame of mind where it's just routine, or who knows. But our focus and core is down to the human, down to the person, down to the interactions at work. And in most workplaces that we're talking about, it's impartial. And I'm a huge advocate of impartiality, really am. Now, we may have our bends. Rick may feel certain ways politically different than me or different than other people that listen to the show. And vice versa. But at the end of the day, we're all professionals doing our thing. That's really all I want to say. You know, when it comes down to politics, I like to leave it out of it. I really don't try to take a side. And when it comes to day jobs and working with people, I like to play it right down the middle. Really do. You know, and yeah, so just some feedback that I received recently, Rick. I wanted to bring that up for us.
Well, okay. I get it. I mean, I guess I get it. I see it the other way. I think we should be able to talk about that. I think we should be able to have those conversations to where nobody lets their emotions get the best of them, trying to understand what the other person thinks or feels.
Oh, dude,
there's nothing wrong with
that. I totally agree with you on that. Totally agree.
So how is politics excluded from that?
But I think different venues prompt that type of in-depth type discussion. Right.
And okay.
We're not really a political venue. We're not. We've never really gone there. And I don't think that that's our primary focus with this show.
That's so all. So I'm saying it depends because you're right. This is not this is not a platform built for that, but it's a platform built for human resources and
right.
focusing on the human part. And in that human part, sometimes the realism in that conversation comes out. So
that's a good point.
There's a big difference in having a platform for the sole purpose of driving one agenda and then having a platform where people can speak and have intelligent conversations openly without being ridiculed or being talked down to. And
yeah,
I think that's what this show
gotta,
is.
You got to agree with me on this one, though. I'm not going to try to force you to agree with me, but I mean, you got to agree to a point that we've never really gone down that path where this is a show about politics and that we're digging in one side versus the other.
No,
trying
no, yeah,
to take
you're
a stance
right.
of understanding the other side and massaging that and et cetera. It's more a business-centric focus with a lot of humor infused. And some people view us as nothing but a joke show, even though we've got like award-winning authors on and crap like that. But whatever, you know.
Crap so. Like that. Yeah, awards and crap.
stuff and things. Yeah, whatever, dude. You know, I mean, that's, I don't know. I just want to fire that out there, receive the feedback on that. I'm sorry if anyone took a misconception out of what this program is, but yeah, that's not our driver focus.
I agree with you. I agree with you. And I'm not sorry if somebody took that misconception. They should call in and we should talk about it. They should. Because that's how they should be handled. Yeah, have them call in.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. you know, feel free to reach out, contact us, and let's book some time on the show and talk about it. Rick, what are some of the best ways that people could find us?
Oh, my goodness. Where can't they find us? We are on Twitter. We are on Facebook. We are on Instagram. You can email us, but definitely Facebook and Instagram is HR Talk Podcast. Twitter is Podcast HR. Just find us through there. Nobody calls me, JC. Nobody calls. So I'm not even going to give that number.
And ladies and gentlemen, really this is this HR out? Talk. I'm JC. That's Ricky Baez. No, come on. I mean, like, really. Yeah. You reach a point. Hey, I heard from a dear friend of ours down in the D.C. area this past week, Rick. And
really?
Yeah, they've got a brand new veterans advocacy group that they put together around the capital region there. And they're doing some real good work and interfacing with a lot of employers and agencies. And our dear friend Erin, she was reaching back out looking for some airtime to come back on and talk about veterans issues in the near future. I'm looking forward to getting that booked and kind of getting some moving forward there.
Erin?
Yeah, Erin.
From Jersey? He was in the core with us, Afraid of Clowns?
No. Erin with an E, that drinks tequila.
Oh, not Aaron. A-A-R-O-N.
No, Erin.
Erin. Erin. Got it. Erin. Okay, making sure. I'm like, wow, he reached out. I haven't heard from him. Survey says? You got him wrong. I think so. Anyway, yeah, so you got a hold of Erin, or Erin got a hold of you. Yes, she does have that.
Yeah, that's good stuff going on.
Advocacy group. So is she coming on?
Yeah, we just got to figure out a date, and they might have some trade shows and things coming up where we're going to try to negotiate a deal to be live on the floor. We'll see. We'll see where the future takes us. Future is wide open. Know what
I got to give it to her, man. She really is involved in a lot of initiatives for veterans. So hats off to Erin, because she's over in the D.C. area. I'm not going to say where she works, but she's heavily involved in the Department of Defense, and she really has a heart, a soft spot for veterans and getting them help. So I really appreciate that. Kudos to you, Erin. So definitely, that was not a joke. I couldn't have been more sincere.
Wrong clip.
Yeah, thank you. So definitely we should get that booked and get them in here as quickly as possible.
Hey, I want to hit the gas on something. You ready to rock and roll, or do you have more big words use in between small ones?
I'm done with big words. I have.
You ready to rock and roll?
Go.
Walgreens closing about 200 locations in the United States. That represents about 2% of their U.S. stores. This announcement, they say, comes after a review of their real estate footprint. They say it should cost up to $2 billion worth of pre-tax expenditures, but 80% of that should lead to future cash expenditures. Walgreens not really moving too much in the after-hours market on this news, Melissa.
Walgreens closing all their stores around the United States.
Wrong music for that, brother.
Sorry again.
You made it sound like it was a commercial announcing this big marketing campaign.
Walgreens, we're closing our doors.
Holy shit. For anybody listening.
No severance. Goodbye.
So, for anybody listening who's afraid for their jobs right now because they don't know which stores they're closing, JC.
Dude, how shocking is that, right?
Ah, oh, dude.
Could you imagine showing up to work and the news in the overnight was, hey, we're closing. That's it.
We don't know which store.
We don't know when. Yeah. We don't know what's happening.
We don't know which stores. Yeah. So,
leadership.
I mean, it's a bad situation to be in, especially now that you don't know which stores. And it's anybody who's working in these stores and they hear that. Now, look. If they have any type of good leadership, they would have released an email or some kind of memo to the employees before that news broke out. Because it would suck for the employees to hear about that along with everybody else on the social networks, right? So now, if you don't know which stores are closing, so now you have to wonder, is it my store? What's going to happen? And what are those GMs going to do now? Next thing you know, you're going to see a spike in performance because they're thinking, if they're going to close based on sales, we better get some fire on their ass and then start doing whatever we need to do. So now I'm pretty sure the finance people are like, wow, all these stores are performing all of a sudden. Why weren't they doing this in the past 5-6 years?
Yeah. But
200 stores is a lot. But did you hear what I read that story. It's 200 stores, which represents 3% of their real estate.
Yeah, it's
that's a lot.
Right.
That is a lot. So I read that story. I was in North Carolina this week for work, and
forgot your toothbrush.
I did forget my toothbrush. Yes, which I walked into a Walgreens. Ironically enough,
don't you start this. We all know Walgreens was not your first stop when you hit Carolina. Come on, you had to have gone to Bojangles, didn't you?
So yes, I got out of the airport, and I'm driving to the hotel, and I pass maybe 15 Bojangles on the way to the hotel.
Yeah, it's like a half mile drive.
But dude, so we used to have Bojangles in Orlando. They closed about a year and a half ago. But man, when we were stationed in North Carolina back in the day, those greasy biscuits were the thing. They did it for us, man.
Yeah, but that was also back when Chick-fil-A was spelt different, before the whole Mandela effect thing. So that's fine, whatever. So Bojangles was the good alternative. It really was.
I don't know where that came from, but yeah, it really was. But then we just lost touch of it. They came to Orlando, they died out, and then I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina. There's a whole bunch of them. So I'm on the phone with JC talking about stuff, and he doesn't believe me that I am at I went to Bojangles and then went to Walgreens to get a toothbrush, and I sent him a picture of it. But yeah, that's right when I heard about the story about
I thought you were going right back into Bojangles. You're like, I got to go into Walgreens. I've seen 7 Bojangles, though. Yeah, no, really. That's where you're going, Rick.
Those biscuits are good, though, man. Come on. So I really feel bad for those folks. But here's the thing, JC. Here's what gets interesting.
I don't know if you
read that story. So you've got Walgreens closing 200 stores. Then you have CVS opening stores.
So check it out. That was the CBS Money Watch piece we just played. This next one's coming from Fortune, following up on this Walgreens closing.
200 American Walgreens stores are set to close in a cost-cutting move for the drugstore chain. While details about specific stores and a timeline for closings have not been announced, the stores represent about 3% of Walgreens locations across the country.
Wow. 3% of the locations across the country, right?
And it's expected to save the company $1.5 billion in the years to come.
$1.5 billion worth of savings. Efrain, come on. My man.
Walgreens says the disruption to customers and patients should be minimal, noting in a statement, as previously announced, we are undertaking a transformational cost management program to accelerate the ongoing transformation of our business.
Stop. So they said that the disruption to patients and customers should be minimal.
It's going to be minimal. We're just not going to be there anymore. So don't worry about it.
Isn't that a weird thing to say? Because isn't it the reason they're closing because they need to cut costs? And the reason they need to cut costs is because they're not performing well? Yes, there's no disruption because nobody's going there. So there shouldn't be any disruption. It's not like you guys are performing amazingly well and the government's saying shut down.
Right.
No.
Right.
Nobody's going there. That's a really, yeah, anyway.
Enable investments in key areas and to become a more efficient enterprise. Parent company Walgreens Boots Alliance said it plans to retain the majority of employees at affected stores. The move comes after the retailer recently announced it would be shuttering 200 stores in the UK.
All right. I saw your face on that one, Rick. Go
ahead.
They're
going to retain the majority of the employees. So that means they're going to put them in other stores or have them do something else. So, wow, man, they're really making a shift. Really making a shift. So
big time.
I guess they yeah,
so it's
they
a real
grew.
Estate and tax type thing more than anything, then, I suppose.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah. So, but
what? Watch Walgreens close the majority of their stores in New York where taxes are super high and there's like zero impact in Florida. Watch that happen.
Wow. Yeah.
Watch them offer relocation, right? So, like, you live and work in New York. We're going to close the store. We'll fly you to Hawaii, get you into a Walgreens over there. We will buy your house, and it will still be cheaper for us.
Yeah, because your taxes up there are crazy, man. I remember you and I were talking about your real estate taxes up there, and I was dumbfounded by how much you pay up there.
When you got off the plane when you hit Western New York up here, and you said, "Hey, let's stop by Walgreens. I got to grab some toothpaste." And we go in, and they have the travel size. It was like 58 cents, but after tax, it was $10. You're like, "What happened here? What's going on?" I wonder if they're going to have a liquidation on all the cigarettes behind the counter, though. I'm curious.
Didn't they get in trouble a couple of years ago for selling cigarettes to underage kids, and there was this big sting?
Wasn't that Walgreens? I think it was Walgreens, yeah. No, I don't know. That's allegations. We don't know. Rumors, speculation. No,
I'm not alleging. I'm just wondering if that was true or not. But yeah,
right.
So it's this is one of those things that I actually we were talking in class a couple of weeks ago. It was a group project, and it was something really similar to this. So there's a lot of things that needs to happen. A lot of moving parts from an HR perspective, especially now. There's a thing called the Warn Act. Have you heard of that?
No, tell
me. Okay, so WARN Act, and what that says, not to get too deep into it, because then I'll bore you guys to death. So anyway, the WARN Act pretty much states that if you're going to have some kind of a layoff like this, or closures or layoff that's going to affect the employees, you have to be specific size in the organization. Then you have to be notified 60 days in advance that this is going to happen. So I don't think this fulfills the WARN Act because
they're going to retain the employees
not being notified.
Right. Well, they're going to keep them.
No, they said they were going to retain the majority of them.
Oh, yeah,
so I don't know if they're going to move managers around, or I don't know what's going to happen. But if you're going to close, you have to let them know, either at least let them know 60 days in advance or shut down and then pay them 60 days worth of pay. Either way, they need to be aware and they have to fulfill that. We had to do that with my company. A few years ago, we had to fly to Ohio and do the same thing. And this whole WARN Act thing, you got to make sure that you've got all your ducks in a row. You got to let the government know, the unemployment office know, and send letters to all these government officials to let them know you're closing down shop in their jurisdiction. So
unless you just close the doors and go to the keys.
And the federal government will find you either way.
Absolutely. Don't do that.
So don't do that. But it's hopefully these employees found out before the story broke out, and hopefully the key here is communication. Communication. Let the employees know exactly what's going to happen. Set up a phone number, something that in case some employees who are a little bit of afraid of talking to the manager or speaking out in public, they can call that number. Have a website where you could drop information in. That way employees know exactly where the organization is going every step of the process. But dude, in an era where unemployment is a 50-year low, 3.6% nationwide,
yes,
Walgreens is closing down stores.
Well, kind of piggybacking on that, Rick, the news unfortunately continues. This is from
what?
CBS Money Watch. I don't want to grow up fun.
Toys R Us kid, the guy with millions. For generations of Americans, Toys R Us was the place for bikes, trains, and video games. But last night, it all ended when the last Toys R Us stores closed for the final time.
It's something that I grew up with, and to see it now empty, it's just sad and heartbreaking.
Toys R Us was founded by Charles Lazarus in 1948. The company grew to become the biggest toy seller in America with more than 800 store locations. But in March, Toys R Us announced it would shutter its remaining stores, following years of financial struggles, increasing competition, and flagging sales.
This is probably a story more about mismanagement.
Oh, I gotta wind that back. Hang on. This is so important. This is the biggest part of the reason why I grabbed the clip. You ready?
Flagging sales.
This is probably a story more about mismanagement over the course of a couple of decades, not just a digital story. It's not just Amazon ate our business. It's that we did a deal with too much debt. We weren't smart enough to expand our online footprint fast enough, and we mismanaged the process. I don't want
to grow up. All right, hang on.
Wow, what was that? Right there.
No, they really hit a sad, downtrodden point in the story right there. But she has a fantastic point, that lady being interviewed in the CBS Money Watch piece here, correct?
So she's saying it's not just a digital problem.
Right.
Yes, because they did not do what they needed to do to keep up with the digital footprint. So it's both. It's a digital problem, and it was mismanagement, because at the end of the day, the reason why Toys R Us closed the way it did, or it just shut down the way it did, is because of Amazon. That's exactly why. And yes, she's right. It is mismanagement because it's the consumer was shifting how they shop, and Toys R Us did not follow in that shift. That one lady at first who says, it's really sad, I used to shop here a lot, blah, 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 blah. I can't believe they're shutting down. I would have asked her, have you shopped at Amazon? Oh my God, yes, all the time. This is your fault, lady. It's your fault then if that's the case. No, but I'm not going to blame the customer, but this, every retailer in America should really take a look at what happened to Toys R Us, because if you don't follow what the customer does and you don't respond to the shift, you're going to go down with the ship. Same thing with Blockbuster, same thing with Circuit City, same thing with all these other organizations, BlackBerry, all these organizations that are not following Apple. In the shift. Apple better be careful though, right? Because right now they're on top.
They're cusping. They're not on top.
They are, but they are cusping. They are declining right now.
Yeah.
Because they've hit a plateau in innovation. They really did. It's the iPhone hasn't been really, really been upgraded in a few years. And by upgrade, I mean a major, major upgrade. Whereas you have all these other competitors that are catching up.
What are you going to do? Make a holographic type thing? Make it 3D? Like, where do you go? You know what I mean? Who knows?
What do you mean, where do you go? Look at where we were 14, 15 years ago.
The floating phone. It follows me wherever I go. Hey, I got more on the Toys R Us story for you.
They have that, but go ahead.
Let's manage the process.
I don't want to grow up.
Ew.
I'm a Toys R Us kid.
As shelves began to empty and doors began to close,
was
tributes
that R. Kelly?
And memories of Toys
Wait, what?
Was that R. Kelly singing that?
Toys R Us were shared online.
They told us we would have severance.
Meanwhile, the chain's liquidation has left some employees with hard feelings. About 31,000 workers were told they would not receive severance pay as part of the bankruptcy agreement.
I'm going to pause it right there, Rick. Go ahead.
Dude, that sucks. That is... What can I possibly say to that people don't already know? Working for an organization for so long, dedicating such a major part of your adult life to an organization, and you get promised these severances, and now they go to bankruptcy, and they don't get it. That, yeah. Yep.
Yeah,
I'll leave it there.
They probably lost their sick time, too.
But the Toys R Us name may not be gone for good. It and trademarks like its mascot Jeffrey will be auctioned off next month.
All right, that's Toys R Us story right there.
Wait, they're going to auction off the trademark Jeffrey?
Oh yeah, he's up for grabs. He should be the new face of the franchise of HR Talk. We need to put a bid in on this.
We should put a bid on this.
Get the giraffe, man.
So wait a minute. So how does that work? So that giraffe has been associated with Toys R Us for years. Who's going to buy it? And you can't rebrand Jeffrey.
See, they said the statement was very simple, and they said that they were auctioning off the mascot. They didn't say that it was like the trademark, the logo. So literally, it's a suit. It's a fuzzy suit, and they're going to auction it, and it's going to be a mascot. Probably at a local high school or something. You know what I mean?
Who would want that?
Dr. Phillips giraffes. You know. A new football team in the Central Florida area. Something like that.
This giraffe is well known for going bankrupt. I don't know who would want that.
The Fighting Giraffes of Austin, Texas. You know?
It just hit the head on people. Oh, I can't believe we're laughing at that.
I do have another clip here if you want it. This is out of Detroit from WXYZ, another box store retailer. Wait, wrong clip. Sorry about that.
Yeah, that is the wrong clip.
Dress Barn is getting ready to close all 650 stores, including 16 right here in Metro Detroit. We caught up with a lot of shoppers who are sad about the news. 7X News reporter Simon Chowdhury is in Southfield to show you what's behind the move.
It's the end to a clothing store's era. Dress Barn has been around since the 1960s, but now the store announced it will be closing all 650 locations across the country.
I'm bummed out. I really am.
Shoppers like Marjorie Malone are sad to hear that Dress Barn is closing.
And they have beautiful clothing, so I don't know why they're going out of business.
Its parent company announced the closures after saying they want to focus on more profitable brands like Ann Taylor and Lane Bryant. Dress Barn employs about 6,800 people. There are 650 stores closing, 26 in Michigan. 16 stores are in Metro Detroit, including these locations.
I live in Southfield, so I come down here when I want something really quick.
Everything is being deserted. Go on to the internet, I guess.
Trestle Flagg says it's disappointing when brick-and-mortar stores are left vacant.
I wish it was something that we could do to make it stay, but...
And the company has not yet announced exactly when these stores will close. For now, their in-store and online sales will remain as is, and they have not changed their refund, exchange, or gift card policies just yet. In Southfield, I'm Saima Chowdhury for 7 Action News.
All right, we'll be sad to see it go. Saima, thank you.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. Thank you for the clip, though, WXYZ and the internet for bringing that forward. Look, Rick, question for you. You've got these box change stores. You got your Walgreens, you got your Dress Barns, you got your Toys R Us. It's a little bit different from one to the next. You're going to get drugs, you're going to get toys, you're going to get clothes. But when you're talking about clothes, you know, and someone's shutting down like that, if you're future thinking to a point, wouldn't you keep the store in place and just have one of all sizes of every product you have? So people could come by and try them on and look at them and physically feel them and then order them if they want to. Kind of like the old brand names model, right? Go on the internet if you want to. Go to Amazon, find the deal, go wherever you want to. But we're going to leave the doors open, and any vendor that sells anywhere through us or on Amazon, merchandise is on display here. So it's like more so like a display model showroom type thing. You know what I mean?
No, I got you. I know exactly what you mean.
Dude, how terrible is it when you buy that shirt that you loved and you pined after, and that new Hawaiian shirt comes in from Qingshan, China, and now it's like seven sizes too small, 100% cotton, the buttons are crooked, and the collar's like way small. You know, it's not what you're looking for. So then you got to return it, and you play that whole Amazon. Give me a store to go try it on, but I don't know. I don't know. I'm just thinking. I'm just putting stuff.
No. So
it's
so
not innovative thought by any means.
But wait, your mind is in the right place. But I guess what we would have to take a look at is how do customers value their time, right? Do they want to spend time driving to a store, trying things on, finding parking, messing with parking, then coming back? Or they just put it in the mail. It'll get to Amazon that night. The following day, Amazon sends you something in the mail, and it gets to you 48 hours later.
You know what's coming next? It's going to be credit through the different stores. That's what it's going to be. So you go ahead, you order. If you order like six sizes of the same thing, the whole thing's like shipped directly to you. You pick the one you want, send the others back, and then you build for it. Like having to pay for the stuff and do the returns. That's what people bother
about. It exists already.
My God. Look at this.
It's called Amazon Wardrobe.
Oh, my God. Amazon Wardrobe. I'm never going to a box store again.
We use it all the time. We use it all the time.
So this is my point. This is my point, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not shocking.
It's not.
This is not shocking. This isn't new news. Now, someone like Walgreens with the drugs, can you buy your Cialis online, Rick?
I don't know. You tell me there, JSP.
Almost got you. I almost got you.
Tell me, brother. No, it's now, again, it's all about following what your customer do. So it's all these executives that are looking at their numbers and seeing how they're declining, how they're improving. Yes, they see those numbers, but are they measuring the right thing? They can't just measure the customer satisfaction. They have to figure out what do the customer want and give it to them. No, seriously, because you can say, do you like our product? Well, yeah, I'm going to check yes because I got nothing else to go off of. So, yeah, so they go off of that number, right? So, dude, all these people are killing me, man.
It's a joke show, right?
No, it's not.
Okay, so using all these examples, and trust me, there's a lot of mergers, acquisitions, a lot of positive things going on out there with businesses. Unemployment is at a low. These are just using the examples of businesses that are closing. From that HR perspective, let's head back down that path. You were talking about this before. Severance, this is something we don't have to give employees, or do we?
We don't have to. We don't have. So there's no law that says that we have to give people severance. There is a law that says, though, that if you say we're going to give you severance and then they don't give it to you, then that becomes an issue unless it's protected in the bankruptcy, right? Because if you have to pay somebody severance and you go into bankruptcy, that's like you're protecting yourself from them coming after you. That's like a creditor. So you don't have to pay that. So that's why it's a sucky situation all around. It really is. But look, you got Dress Barn has to do with obviously dresses. You've got
Wait a second. Dress Barn, real quick. When you think about that, they did say that they're going to focus on their other brands. They did say that they were going to focus on the other products that they have.
Yeah, but we don't know what that means.
In the same way that Walgreens said they could potentially be keeping the majority of their staff. What does it mean? Is it the focus of the story saying that it's bankruptcy, or is there possibly
a
merger, moving people to a sister company and then maybe up to holding them back? There's a whole lot going on there, right?
If they're going to shift their focus to another sister company that's also brick and mortar and they don't have any strategy to compete in the digital realm, they're going to make the same mistake.
That's true.
They are going to make the same mistake. So if you're going to focus on other areas of the business, hopefully you'll focus on following the digital space that your customer is looking at, because more and more customers are buying drugs online. And customers in your area, JC, are just driving across the border and then coming back. So it's at the end of the day, they have to respond to that.
I know nothing about international drug trafficking, Rick. I'm not even going to get into that. I don't even partake.
I didn't say that. I just said they go across the border.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah. So there you go. But you got really specific with that.
Yes.
I just want to put
it out there. I am not affiliated with any of that. And I am also politically agnostic. And we're going to leave it at that.
Politically agnostic?
Yeah. You know what? Impartial. There it is.
I'm politically Christian. but look. These retailers are learning from their mistakes, and hopefully they get some leadership in there that would guide them into the right direction. Not following it in other footsteps, but if they're not innovative enough to really make a statement and say, here's what we're going to do, and it's going to be innovative. If you're not going to do that, at the very least, follow what your competitors is doing as quickly as possible. That's why Blockbuster failed, because Netflix came along. They completely changed the game, and everybody responded to it.
Now,
Blockbuster got in it too late.
Mm-hmm. Interestingly, you take a look at like what YouTube's doing with the YouTube TV, and then the app, and then subscribe to your local channels and get the package through them and everything like that. I think it's approximately $49 a month, and now you have a deal through Verizon Fios where you could bundle your internet with the YouTube TV, and then when you start to tally the prices together. It costs the exact same as if you just went with their television service that they offer anyways.
It's a scam, isn't it?
There's a whole, let's cut the cord, but let's jack up the price. Let's get them all, you know.
And you know what? I have, my wireless provider is through Verizon Wireless, and I still see that I have unlimited minutes for my call service, and I'm like, why even bother telling me that I have unlimited minutes? I hardly use those minutes. I either text, use WhatsApp, send emails, or chat. Yeah. That's it. I hardly use my phone for anything. So I'm wondering, with that said, I'm wondering if they have other plans that says you got 350 minutes a month.
Well, I'm going to tell you something.
You have that.
They're going to need to get on their toes, and here's why.
T-Mobile and Sprint finally received the okay from the Justice Department on their $26 billion marriage. The approval Friday paves the way for a merger between America's third and fourth largest wireless companies behind Verizon and AT&T. In order to get the deal approved, the two agreed to sell the Boost Mobile prepaid service to satellite TV provider Dish Network. Dish will also get first rights to buy tower leases the duo will no longer need once they are combined. The T-Mobile Sprint deal has already received the blessing of Federal Communications Commission Chairman Ajit Pai, who is expected to circulate a formal approval within weeks. But this trip to the altar is far from done. A group of U.S. state attorneys general have filed a lawsuit to block the deal, claiming it will take $4.5 billion out of consumer pockets annually. Consumer advocates fear the deal will lead to higher consumer prices by reducing major competition. Shares of T-Mobile are at a record high one day after it announced it added more customers during the past 3 months than analysts were predicting.
So people are trying to stop a big merger from one giant telecom giant, pretty much, right? So trying to stop that monopoly from happening.
FCC had to sign off on that. It had to go through DOJ as well. It's all been approved. It's moving forward. Sprint, T-Mobile merging, making something new out of it, and heading to the future.
Yeah, that always worries me, though.
We're going back to the future.
So that always worries me when we got like some big organizations trying to merge into one. I'm a big advocate for competition and having options out there. So, yeah, I agree that if a lawsuit is filed to kind of make sure that it doesn't create a monopoly, especially with telecom, because that's the way to go now. Because now you're bringing Verizon Wireless and YouTube TV. The consumer is shifting on how they consume entertainment.
A lot of people already have the deal between T-Mobile and Hulu or Sprint and Hulu, whatever it might be. So yeah, I think you're going to start to see a lot of those things come together like that in that way right there. You know, but look, you're talking about low unemployment. You're talking about a good market. You're talking about people making money left and right. You're talking about mergers, acquisitions, businesses closing, change, etc. Going back to what we talked about a few weeks ago, you're also talking about increased homelessness in the Austin and in San Francisco Bay areas. You're talking about employees' pay not increasing that much.
Yep.
So as prices continue to rise with these products and convenience factors fall further into the home, and then you buy into these things, next thing you know, you're just sitting home enjoying $300 worth of TV and cell phone, and you're like, geez, I can't even go out, and I need to start walking parks or something now. I can't afford to go to Disney anymore. I'm just going to walk.
You really can't. It's like, I think it's $110 for a one-day ticket.
Yeah.
You really can't.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's with that one, as far as the how the consumer spends, you're right. It's you do have to make some decisions on what you spend and where you consume your entertainment from. But look, it's all about not making knee-jerk decisions and really taking a step back and planning on what's going to happen going forward. So with that said, I saw something. I don't know if you saw this in the news a couple of days ago. Obviously, look, you got to be living under a rock if you don't know that there was two mass shootings last weekend, right? It's a pretty bad time in America right now. And one of those shootings happened at a Walmart. And obviously that started that gun debate and what should we do? What should we not do? So I don't know if you saw what happened at Walmart a couple of days ago, JC. So Walmart said it's the news cycle has been talking about how all these things are coming from violent video games, which I highly disagree, but whatever. That's not what I'm going to talk about right now. But Walmart heard that and they're like, you know what? We got to take action. And what Walmart decided to do, they decided to take down any advertisement that shows any violent video games or anything like Call of Duty, anything like that. No more advertisement for that in their stores, those cardboard things, because they wanted to do something. So they took it down, but they still sell the video games. Again, I don't agree that video games are the issue, but they still sell the weapons, it's all everything else. And look, I'm not here to debate on the gun process, on video games. What I'm saying is that sometimes you got to take a step back and really think about what you're going to do and not just do it as a knee-jerk reaction, because it comes across really douchey. Because for you to take down the advertisement and that's it, to me, that sends a worse message than you not doing anything at all, right? Because at least you have a stance. But I don't know if you saw that, JC, but I just started laughing when I read that yesterday. And now Walmart's catching heat for it. And I don't know if that was one executive who says, you better do this shit right now, or that was a group of executives that got together. They started talking about it. But I just don't know what's going to happen with the Walmart brand. I mean, it's a behemoth, but they're taking a hit right now. Have you seen that at all in the news, JC?
Yeah.
Really, dude? No thoughts. Just, yeah, no. No thoughts on it.
Yeah, the entire thing's tough, man. It really is.
Yeah, good job backing me up there, bud. Awesome. All right, what's the next topic? Go ahead.
No, there's a lot that goes into it, you know, and there's also a lot that goes into there's so many cycles of things. I'm exhausted. I am. I feel bad for a lot of people and a lot of things that are going on, but I'm also exhausted of like the rotation of things to where election year cycles and then things flush back up and flush back down. And I don't know. I'm just tired.
Yeah.
I'm just tired. No, I feel bad. At the same time, I'm just tired. You know,
I get it. I get what you're saying. But what I'm talking about is how executives get together and the decisions they make just because they're influenced by what they see in the media.
Absolutely.
They got to take a step back.
And also not even just influenced by what's in the media, but influenced by their advertisers, influenced by the people that give them money. You know, and when we're talking about this show, as well as some other podcasts that are out there, you've got opinions and thoughts that are being driven from a perspective that's not driven by advertiser dollars or money. And when you're beholden to the dollars that maybe Toys R Us has given you, you're not going to say bad things about Toys R Us at the end of the day, you know?
True.
So it's a vicious cycle. I always go back to that documentary from Frontline back in the 2000s called The Merchants of Cool. And it dissected the whole process of pop culture and how record industries and businesses survey people, find out what's cool, sell it back to them in the regurgitation process. And then how the advertising dollars also help drive policy and future of business at the same time. It's exhausting. It is.
It is.
That's all.
Yeah, but it's, I think what they did there, the brand is taking a hit. And the brand's going to take a hit.
Walmart?
Not only the, yes.
Walmart is a brand taking a hit.
Yeah, it is taking a hit.
How many people do you think are going to stop going to Walmart altogether?
Well, not much. Not much.
Well, right.
Not much,
right. Yeah, so you're talking more of a media impression perspective rather than the actual reality of where they're still going to go to the store and get what they need at the end of the day.
Yeah, I don't know now. I don't know. I mean, it's easier. It's everything is shifting right now that people just don't go into the stores as much as they did 10 years ago because Walmart has an app, Publix has an app, even Target, that you get all the things you want and you park into a parking space, somebody brings the stuff out to you. And they are going to start to use that data to say, all right, maybe we don't need these big stores. Maybe we need a smaller store. And because the only thing we're going to need now is a warehouse because nobody wants to come in anymore. They just want to park and have somebody put something in their trunk and then that's it. But you're right. Is it going to affect Walmart sales? Maybe for that particular store, but people are still going to go there because it's within their price point. I mean, think about it. People, now I'm just pulling this out of the air. I don't have any data to back this up. I don't think people shop at Walmart because of their stance on anything. It's just really cheap, right?
Yeah.
To go there. Everything's really cheap.
Hey, wait, I need a gallon of milk. Where am I going?
Yeah.
This one's
Walmart.
Cheaper.
There cool. We go. That's what you
or
don't
closer,
care much about.
Closer
service.
On the way home or whatever the case may be, right?
So you know what? Every time I visit you up there, we always go to that Walmart. And I'm not a big fan of Walmart just because it's not easy just to walk in, get something, and get out.
No, it's like a half hour, dude.
It is because you go in, you got to walk in way to the back to get your gallon of milk, and then come way to the front. They have 100 registers, 2 people on regular ones, and then 1 person manning like 15 self-checkouts.
Yeah.
And it's a whole process. I can't stand it. That's why I reverted back to either the Publix and or the small hometown Walmarts or just buy my groceries online. Because Amazon Pantry, you can buy everything there. They're mailing to you. They'll deliver them to you and it's right then and there. And then there's an app called Instacart that works with Publix. You can go ahead and put your order in. It's a little bit more expensive, but they deliver it to your door.
Oh, you
so
can't
I'm
beat
willing.
That. Yeah.
Oh, so yeah, exactly. Now you pay a little bit more for that service, but me paying that much more for that service, it's worth my time not going all the way to the store and coming back.
You ever have the stuff just shipped straight to your office, and then some of the stuff to home?
I've done that before.
Yeah, like hey, send my coffee, pretzels and chocolates to the office and send my toilet paper home.
and then they screw it up.
Yeah, right. Right.
Where am I getting all this toilet paper at the office? What's going on here?
What a mess. Hey, so in the HR world, in the HR space, I mean, we've talked a lot of random business stuff today. You're also a professor. You talk to the kids, the youth of America.
Adult, but okay.
Yeah, no, I know. What's the consensus on some of these topics about businesses closing and some of the things that we talked about today when you speak to people?
So we just had a group presentation about stores closing and what the communication is to the employees. So the whole purpose of that presentation is all about what strategy are you going to put together to make sure the employees know exactly what's happening every step of the way. So that was the focus of that activity. And then this thing comes up with Walgreens, just like, wow, I mean, it's almost potatoes to potatoes. But their takeaway, remember, for them, they're a little bit younger than us. So for them, this is everyday business life. For us, we come up from a different era where the closings of stores are happening more frequent now than what they did in the 80s and 90s, right? So they're happening more now because the consumer spending habits are shifting. So for us, it's a big deal because, like, wow, these big retailers are going away and everything is changing. And for these students, they're like, oh, okay, that's just the way the world works for them. So it's good for them to see this happening. That way they know once they get into those executive meetings and executive boardrooms, they're able to make a decision, put a strategy together that's built on facts and not emotions and not the media. But then again, you got to be careful because exactly what you said, if you've got some partnerships that have big influence financially on you, then you have to take their advice into play as well.
Yeah.
Depends who's in their pocket. So yeah, they know what's going on and they're ready. It's these students are really top notch, man. And you've seen them too because you flow down here and then you taught one class with me and you did a great job and you saw what they do.
Appreciate
no, you did.
You
did. You had their attention, and once they go out there, and they'll be ready for whatever comes down the pike. So,
well, look, I appreciate the fact you saw that in me, Rick. I have a hard time getting through to some people sometimes, you know. So that's good. I'm glad you saw it. Thank you.
No, all you got to do is just show up with a Bluetooth speaker yelling "Love Contract," and they have that music going. People automatically recognize you, man. You need to trademark that. Yeah. We got to trademark that.
It's not. We can't. That's not our.
Why?
It's someone else's music. You know, it's royalty free. But it's a whole thing. But
yeah, I know.
I see what you're saying. The combo type deal, right?
Yeah. All right. What else you got? You have anything else?
I don't. You know, I'm a bit of a blur lately. You know, it's been quite the buzz. After last week's show, the introspective series within a series, made up of a series. I don't like the made up of a series part. I want to trim that off. And I do have to correct ourselves because last week we said it was the first episode. It was actually the second. We had done that with the rapping garbage man school teacher going back a few months. So this was actually the second one. And the third one that we have lined up should be falling in line. Again, another professional musician, friend from years back. He's on tour right now. He was scheduled to be on this past week, but
busy guy.
Yeah. He's going to be off tour in the August time frame, so it's going to be good to sit down with a professional musician, a recording session drummer, and kind of get the feel of his world and that path of things. Now, the human resources space, it's HR talk. We talk human resource type things. Ricky, are we not doing our job? Is there a lot we're not talking about in human resources? Because some people have said lately, like, this is nowhere near human resources talk. This is not HR talk.
I'm okay with that. I am okay. If you go to any other HR talk podcast, they talk about the regular HR things. Let's talk about FMLA, employment and labor law.
How many times can you talk about FMLA, Rick?
No shit. I know. If we hear people say this is not regular HR, awesome. We fulfill our mission. and we're good.
But why? Just, why do you say that? I want you to explain this to people that do listen to the show, because this is pretty important.
It is, because I'm really tired of the HR field and the people who work in the HR field to be looked at sticks in the mud. And the only time that we get involved in any situation is because something happened at the workplace, and all of a sudden you got to break the emergency glass and let the HR person out. That's not fair, and that's not exactly who we are in the workspace. And if we're talking about the resource of the human talent, we have to talk about not just the negative aspects of it, but more of the helping the right people with the right talent fit in the right jobs at the right time to help the organization go from A to B. So that's not all about just policies and reviewing this. It's people who have a specific point of view talking to other people who have a different point of view and having the emotional intelligence and the intellect to have conversations to move that needle forward. And that's what we do. We discuss things that may not be traditional HR, but at the end of the day, it talks about the human aspect and having that communication to really make an impact.
And where do you draw the line for the future? Where do you draw the line of the future of what human resources is compared to where we are right now? Because tell you what, man, end of the day, and we say that term too much, and I really want to stop using the term end of the day, but truly, at the end of the day, you got people in front of you.
Yep.
Let's get that good story out. Yeah. Let's cut to the root. Let's learn a little bit more about the people, right? What was that story we said one time about, you said to me, like, it's good to, you know, learn a little bit more about your people. Find out the birthdays of their kids. Go by, yes. Talk to them from time to time, but not in a robotic manner, you know?
Like authentic, genuine.
Yes. Correct. And it a lot of what we do, I try to think that we're attempting to bring and exemplify what that is through this podcast to people that might not be used to talking about things this way.
So you're saying that we're attempting to do that, and I want to correct you. We are doing that,
no,
JC.
No, we're not. Not always.
You don't think so?
No, not always, because sometimes you bore the shit out of me. It's the first time I swore this episode, too. And when that happens, I just tune right out.
You're an asshole.
It's true. That's human resources for you.
It is human resources, because some of the things that are important in the human resource world today, other people who are not in the HR space may not think so. So they may find out boring, like, I don't care about the Warren Act. I don't care about unions. But they have to be talked about in some way, genuinely. So when you genuinely tell me you're bored out of your fucking mind, I'm okay with it. It's not going to alter how I change my communication about it, though, because I'm like, you know what? If I'm going to be good at something, I'm going to bore the shit out of you in an expert manner. There you go. I get to be the best annoyer ever.
That's good, though.
Absolutely, yes.
But do you feel that there's a line to be drawn so that HR professionals don't bleed into the God complex, okay? Is there a line to be drawn, or is it okay to try to become a little bit more familiarized with all the different levels of aspect within your business and organization so that you have a greater understanding? Because there's no dividing line when you're talking about the employee. There's no dividing line when you're talking about the human. Yes, there's things within the law that are thick lines that you don't want to cross, right?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
At the same time, there's nothing wrong with understanding what's happening operationally on the floor and getting to know the people there and getting to know the work so that you understand the stresses and the factors that go into that position that you're trying to fill and that you're helping post for or soliciting resumes for, et cetera. If you're going into that with a blind eye, who are you?
So if there was a line to be drawn,
yes,
the line would have to be to just get involved in exactly like you said, in every aspect of the business. Proactively,
wrong timing,
more than reactive, but yeah, really wrong timing.
Sorry.
Yeah, good job. No, but just get involved from the beginning with everything from the beginning. Have the people see you. as that human being. I know we keep saying this shit every single show, but at the end of the day, that there it is again. We should have a jar to put money in every time we say at the end of the day. We should. Or a buzzer. Do you have a buzzer for that? Get a buzzer going. At the end of the day, that took too long.
Yeah, I wasn't ready for you, Rick. I wasn't ready for you.
You pointed at me, man. You said, yes, I'm ready. You pointed, or maybe it's the fan that you have in the back. That there we go. Perfect. So, no, it's going. So, HR into the future. So, the future of HR would have to be just back to the basics. Back to the basics. Forget about policy for the time being. Forget about the portal. Forget about the web chats. And let's focus more on coffee breaks. Let's focus more on lunches. Let's focus more on going back to the basics and connecting with those employees that you have there. Because if you fulfill any kind of any important attribute for the employees, they will do what's best for the organization. The right people. No, that's the wrong one. That's the wrong one.
Sorry. Having some severe issues with the audio drops today.
Yeah, no shit. So anyway, that's the line, man. And I think the line that has to be drawn, we've been talking about it on this podcast for the past year and a half. And it's just to be human about it, be genuine. And that's what we like to do on this show. If you listen to any other HR show, they get
a lot of people do, Rick. A lot of people listen to the other shows and then they tune into this one and they say, the frig are these guys talking about? This is terrible. This is not human resources.
Well, that's fine. Then if you want just plain information, then go ahead and read a law book and go to those other HR shows. But if you want to just take a step back, you want to clock out mentally for a second and talk about these HR issues in a space that is real, it's two human beings talking about it without the fear of retaliation of any kind of a legal issue, is the show for you.
I'm always scared about retaliation. Are you kidding me? I'm so fearful.
From who?
The entire world. We talk about a lot of stuff. I don't want people from Walgreens assaulting me now because we did a clip about that. Like, I get scared.
They're not going to assault you, but they might give you the wrong drugs when you go grab them.
But we don't do bad. I don't get it. I just, you know, so
we don't
scared.
Do bad. Now, look. People give us feedback. That's fine. We will take that feedback. But it's we'll take the feedback and we'll make the adjustments necessary for that feedback. Now, if that feedback goes against and what the basis and the culture of the show is, we're not going to adjust it. It's not going to be adjusted because this is the basis of the show. Now, I know that goes away, not away, but it flies in the face of what I said earlier with Walmart and Walgreens and Toys R Us not adjusting to the customer base. But what I'm saying is our core is this. It's genuine talk, authentic conversations that you normally wouldn't have in the workplace, right? About regular human resources and leadership issues that business leaders can learn from today. So that is our core. That's our culture. And that's what we're going to stick to.
I don't know. I kind of want to go back to having real crappy audio and just talking about laws. And real bad laughter. I mean, we could do that. I have no problem doing that, Rick.
We should.
good timing, Rick. Thanks.
Yeah, great. Thanks. Great timing. Let's do a show of and just no intro. We just start the show and just reading Title 7 of the Civil Rights Act, just from beginning to end, verbatim. That's what we need to do. That's one day.
That sounds terrible.
Well, no, that sounds like what people want. That's HR, guys. That's what you're supposed to do. But you know what? Here's the funny thing is, it's whether it's right or wrong, people get upset if you don't fulfill their expectations.
Hey, wait a second. Rick, I'm going to change the audio up. So it's going to sound like one of those other shows. And Ricky Bias, are you there?
I'm here.
Do it again.
I'm here.
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm doing good.
It'll make more sense to you when you hear this back later. I just trimmed the audio in a very terrible way. No, you're back. You got good audio again.
I'm back. I got good audio. Okay. Awesome. All right. But yeah, JC, that's what it is. So we appreciate the feedback. This is who we are, brother. This is who we are. And we encourage anybody that has any feedback, give us a call. We would love to talk to you on the air. Just send us a message if you want to, we can. If not, it's okay. But I love a good, I don't want to say debate. You know what? No, I would love a good, healthy debate, healthy conflict, because I really thrive on that, because that's how you learn going forward. So bring it on. That'll work. Your pause is a freaking killing me, bro.
I know. I'm very introspective today. You know, last week after doing the introspective series within a series made up of a series, but I want to cut that part off. I'm kind of at the point where I'm a little bit more introspective with myself lately. I think about the times in the past where, especially when we talk about the human aspect of things and the leadership side of it all, and I go back to this incident a very, very long time ago, and this is going to take a lot for me to share. So I really want everyone to stay with me. There was this friend of mine, and he's still here today. He had a lot of good input and feedback in this one arena of things that we used to do. Okay. And it was a mutual appreciation for food. So we went out and we got these pierogies and cooked them up in this electric skillet that I had. And we reached a point where I had such a hard time cleaning it afterwards that I threw it out. And in that moment, it was that shocking realization of how heavy-hearted I felt at that moment throwing out the electric skillet, when I know that I could have just maybe scrubbed a little harder or washed it a little harder. And here was this amazing piece of machinery that did me good for so many years, and now it's gone just because I had a glass or a 40-ounce coffee with my friend, and we chose to throw it away because we didn't clean it in time and there was some mold on it. So it makes me feel a bit introspective towards my thoughts of the future when I think about like the importance of that metal skillet, the importance of those years gone by, the importance of the hard work that did, and really all it needed was a little extra love and a little extra cleanup. And we just threw it away. So we take these lessons, we take these parables, and we bring them forward into our lives, and we think about, okay, I'm getting older. Now I am the moldy skillet. I hope no one throws me away. And then luckily, I know people like you that teach me about Title VII and some of the protections and the 40-year-old thing. And now I have my own AARP card, so I feel older, and I feel blessed at the fact that, maybe I won't get fired and thrown out like the old moldy skillet. That is how human resources can help inspire you.
First of all, it wasn't a 40-ounce cup of coffee. It was 40-ounce Colt 45. That's number. Oh, you're not showing me your AARP card.
It's a real
Holy
card.
Holy crap. You got one.
I do have one. They have amazing benefits. I do recommend going to Denny's and Walgreens the first Tuesday of every month. You could get 15 to 20% off, but not for much longer because they're all going to close and consolidate. In New York, I might have to cross the border to a lower tax state. Who knows?
So that's a really good metaphor that you use there with the skillet, being the skillet and be thrown away. So here you are saying that you hope that an employer doesn't throw you away and they really spend that extra time on polishing
your talents. Who doesn't want to feel that way? You want to feel valued and you want to feel like they're going to hang on to you.
You do.
You don't want to feel as if like every step and breath you take is going to be investigated, looked into, and then you're going to be thrown away like the moldy skillet. That's no way to live, Rick.
So when did you learn that's no way to live? Because again,
by
you
listening
threw away
to
that
this
skillet.
Podcast.
You threw away that skillet.
By listening to our own podcast.
And that's what you got out of it, to put a little bit extra elbow grease on a skillet.
That's
You're
it.
Right.
That's it.
Put a little bit elbow grease. It takes work. It takes time. But a smart leader would know what kind of return on investment they get for that time. Because if you go ahead and you start polishing away that skillet and you know you're not going to be able to use it, then yeah, throw it away. Throw that skillet away. But if you're able to get a return on your investment on your employees and you know your employees aren't going to do the right thing, then yeah, invest that time. But you have to be able to know that you're going to get that ROI. And you have to motivate your employees or your skillet enough to know that once you get that polishing, you're going to do a bang-up job.
At what point is it better off for you to lay stock and money into the upgrade of your skillet, into making sure that it's got the most finely tuned electronics inside of it?
Yeah.
Or do you just throw it away and get a new one anyways? Like, some point you have to invest in your employees a little bit more financially to make them feel welcomed and thanked, though, too. Pat on the back only goes so far.
You're right. It only goes so far. But what happens with a skillet is that if you really put a lot of time, effort into it, but it still doesn't work the way it's supposed to, but you want to keep it because it's a skillet that your great, 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 great grandmother had, and it has an emotional attachment. Yeah, for a skillet, you keep it. For an employee, you don't, because the employee still has to perform.
So if you've got an employee that performs over the top, and they're fantastic in what they do, and they have that potential for the future to be better, but they're doing great right where they are, mm-hmm. they're always going to be a skillet. And they do a great job at being a skillet, so you want them to stay a skillet because they're your best skillet. So maybe the lesson for employees is don't be the best, or else you might get screwed over and stay right where you are and never move on.
No.
Yeah. Right, because all leaders want to be properly reinforced, right? They want that, okay, if I turn back this way and I invest my time and money in this guy or gal over here, they are going to produce the most amazing quality work that I need done. And we're going to meet all our goals, and I'm going to look like the leadership rock star. Keep that person where they are. Keep them happy, but keep them where they are.
No.
No future.
Not the
pigeonhole them.
Not the way to do it.
Keep them at the desk. Work harder and faster. I'll buy you chocolate.
That's the best way to get rid of somebody. The best way to get rid of your rock stars right there. Because if you got some people who thrive on career progression and you keep them there, those rock stars are going to leave.
Did you say aggression or progression?
Progression. Progression. Progress. And the people who are going to stay are the ones who do just enough not to get fired. You don't want those
kinds
of skillets.
See, this is the stuff that we repeat all the time. This is the garbage that we talk about all the time.
But it's
true. This is the stuff that you're not going to find written in the law books, right?
You're not.
This is the stuff that is in between the lines, ingrained in who you are, that helps make up the culture of your organization.
Correct.
And if you've got a terrible toxic culture, what do you got? You got employees showing up for a paycheck. And that's it at the end of the day. Oh, my God, I said it again. I got to stop saying that.
Stop saying that. Who would have thought that hurricane in Camp Lejeune 25, 26 years ago would be brought up right now with the whole skillet conversation? Because nobody knows what you're talking about with the pierogies. That was back in Camp Lejeune when we first met.
Yeah.
And then that hurricane, and you're like, hey, come on, you want some pierogies? I'm like, what the fuck is that? And it was like, and I compared it to an empanada. And you're like, I don't know what that is, but this is not an empanada. This is a pierogi. And I'm like, this is just like an empanada. And we kept saying that shit over and over again.
Did we?
We just got drunk and hung out. Yeah, we did.
I just remember drinking a lot of coffee that day.
No, there was not coffee. It was Colt 45. I remember
that. See, I get confused.
I remember that. One of our the guy down the hall had a St. Ides.
Oh, man.
It was a lot of 40-ounce drinks going around that weekend.
That guy could drink a 40 in 20 seconds. Witness that. Bore witness to that. My God.
The crooked eye.
I'll never forget growing up, and then we would go to the convenience store, you and I, as well as others. And then you guys are buying whatever you're buying. But then, like, I don't know, for the longest time, I would get those 32-ounce Mickey's coffees. They came in the green bottle with the screw top.
Yeah, that was beer, but okay. That's I don't know beer? If it was coffee.
That's beer? Yes,
that was beer.
You got to be kidding me. All this time, I thought we'd been drinking coffee.
Sure. Nah.
Yeah. Nah. Last time I was down, you said, hey, let's go get a 12-pack of coffee. I'm like, yeah, no problem. It was like, what'd you do? Well, I woke up, I had a can of coffee. An entire can? Yeah.
That's awesome.
This so is what's been the problem with breakfast. Our show. That's why Jennifer McClure, when she came on and saw me on the video drinking a coffee, she was shocked. I thought it was a coffee. Oh, my gosh.
That's awesome.
Ricky, that's not coffee?
Maxwell House Light? No, it's not coffee. It's not.
I thought Corona Light was a brand of coffee, Rick.
There you go. There you go. See, oh you God. Learned something new.
Well, I'm still going to call it coffee. For the fact of social media, I'm still going to call it coffee.
It took an hour and 20 minutes to get that aha moment for you. That's awesome. That is awesome. See, now I want pierogies. Now I'm going to go to on my Amazon app, order some pierogies, and it'll be here in a couple of hours.
Hey, do me a favor. Before we head towards wrapping everything up here, give me something hardcore HR title, whatever you want to talk about. Hit me with something hard and ask me about it like you would in the HR space. Let's do this for our new HR listeners out there. Give me something HR-oriented. Go.
Something HR-oriented?
Yeah. Legally speaking, HR-like. Is that Title 4, Title 5, Title 7, Title 17? Do you have a Title 47?
I'm sure they do. I have no idea about Title 47. The one that applies to us in the human resources world, the big one, is Title 7
five.
Of the Civil Rights Act.
What about 5?
Seven. I don't know about five.
Okay.
I don't know about five. I know about seven.
Okay.
Seven.
What do you know about seven? Give me something about seven real quick.
Okay. Title 7, it prohibits discrimination in the workplace based on sex, race, religion, sexual orientation, color, you name it, religion, you name it, it's there. It prohibits discrimination based on that. That's all title. Well, I mean, there's more to Title VII, but that's the basis of Title VII. And every HR professional in the nation, I'm not going to say the world, in the nation, should know about Title VII. If you're in HR
Why?
Space, you don't know. Because
Why?
That, because we have to make sure our employers, our business partners, we have to ensure that they know about that law. They know what that law states, and we have to make sure that we protect the organization. And by saying protect the organization, I mean both
that.
The managers,
right?
Managers and employees.
Okay,
not just
so
managers.
if we take an example, and this is from JD Super 22 hours ago, Phoenix, Arizona. May I
go right ahead?
A nationwide healthcare company headquartered in Scottsdale, Arizona, will pay $150,000 and furnish other relief to settle a lawsuit for pregnancy discrimination brought by the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, the federal agency announced today. According to the lawsuit, a certain company that I shall not name on this podcast rescinded a job offer for a credentialing manager position to a certain employee within a week of learning that she was pregnant.
Wow.
There's a lot more on this story. Wow. And go ahead. Just in
That's
the
all you have to say.
In the
That's
Google box right there, just go ahead, type type Title VII, discrimination. And it's going to be the very first news article that comes up. $150,000, Rick.
That's all you have to say right there. They rescinded an offer because the person was pregnant. Just think about it. 2019, and we still have managers that do that. We still have leaders that make decisions to not hire somebody, and has nothing to do with whether the person can or cannot do the job. It's ridiculous. She being pregnant has got nothing to do with her ability to do that job, and that is a textbook violation, and it still happens. So that's one. I have one for you, though, if you don't mind.
Tell me.
I do have one for you.
Bring it.
And actually, this comes from our friend of a show, David Miklas, the Miklas Law Com. He writes some really good blogs about some cases that are out there. One of the cases, and let me go bring it up real quick. Hold on 1 second.
Rick, you are not a legal expert, correct?
No, I'm not. No,
and
way.
I am not a lawyer or a legal expert either. No. Neither of us are talking on behalf of any.
We are not
anyone other than this.
No, we're not. We're not attorneys, and we don't give out legal advice.
And we don't represent the EEOC. We don't represent anyone.
No, we don't.
Right.
No, we represent common sense, JC. That's who we represent. Apparently something out there that it's just not common. But there's an issue. It was a company in South Florida. Actually, it was a city employee who filed a complaint.
What city, Rick?
Broward City, I think. No, School Board of Broward City or County. Excuse me, School Board of Broward County. So it was the school board. And again, you can find this on MicklesEmploymentLaw.com. So this is a suit, Ortiz versus School of Board of Broward County. The issue is that this employee who kept showing up to work, and he was being called derogatory names. He was called a spic and everything derogatory about Puerto Rican. So every time he went to work,
what is that?
A spic is a derogatory term for Puerto Rican or a Hispanic.
Is it really?
Yes, it is.
It's not something I've ever used. No. Is it? That's a real thing, Rick?
It is a real thing. So are you surprised that you don't use a derogatory term?
No, I'm not surprised. I just...
Okay.
Hang on a second here. Let's
What are you looking for?
Well, hang on. Let me see if I can...
Well, okay.
All right. You hang on. Wait. Okay. Mm-hmm. Google, what is spic?
Spic. A Spanish-speaking person, someone with a Central American or Latino accent. Spic synonyms, spic, spigdity. S-P-I-C.
Well, that's pretty cold. Spigdity? The frig is spigdity, Rick.
Yeah. No. Do me a favor. I don't care what Google says. Don't say that at work.
Dude, I ain't going to say that anywhere. That's anybody. Ridiculous.
That is a derogatory term.
Why would they? This friggin' joke, dude. So they're calling this guy this name.
So essentially he had a hostile work environment because
shocking. You call someone like that.
There's more. So apparently in a 2-year period, the supervisor just kept making remarks, off color remarks about this guy and his nationality. So
that's joking around, like, because they're tight or what?
It's not coming across that way.
Okay,
I know some people do it that way. It still doesn't make it.
You do that with me all the time. You make fun of me because I'm so pale and white. But we're still friends.
We are still friends, right?
Yeah, but I'm white as friggin' hell. I know I am. I glow in the dark.
Yeah, but me calling you white is not derogatory.
You could roll me in flour and find the dark spots in the flour. Like, you know? And you were the one to tell me that.
So wait a minute. Me calling you white is not derogatory. That's a factual statement. You are white, are you not?
Well, I am, but I mean, it reached a point when I was younger where I thought I was an honorary Puerto Rican, so I really believed that for a long time because you told me I was.
You are an honorary Puerto
Rican.
Then
I tried to understand, why am I honorary? Like, why does this have to be a thing? And then later on, I learned it was like how the cat thinks he's a dog kind of thing, you know? So then I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm not, you know? I don't know. I've been... Knowing you has messed up my life so much in many good ways. I can't even.
Why? Because I'm Puerto Rican?
Look at how we infuse the humor. Look at how we infuse it. Man.
Yeah, but see, but you and I do it, right? You and I do it because it's we don't work together, right?
Yes, we do. We're doing this show.
Wait a minute. If we worked in an office environment, right, how you and I banter back and forth, the employees would not see that, JC. They would not see that. Right?
Yeah, but we don't. But let's be honest, though. I mean, all jokes aside, we don't banter using terms like they
No, no, we don't.
That's not part of our vernacular.
It's not. But as far as you being so white and me being Hispanic, me being Puerto Rican, you being honorary Puerto Rican, that's not derogatory. Not derogatory at all. But we would not do that at work, though.
So I'm a different level of white?
I don't know. Are you?
I don't know. You just said I'm so white. So now I just went from being white to so white. Did I surpass pink? I just went to a different level.
I don't have a card that tells me the different shades. I don't have that.
Holy
right?
crap, could you imagine if there was a little laser gun? Let's find out how white he is, pointing directly at my forearms. You know? Holy smokes.
Oh, but anyway, back to this issue, though, because this thing gets worse, JC. Gets worse. So this guy would always go to work, and this guy's boss would always make remarks that you Puerto Ricans are always later. Here comes the Puerto Rican. Let me lock up my toolbox. Here's a Puerto Rican. It smells up. You know, it stinks up the place. Almost every day for 2 years. And then this guy obviously is in a hostile work environment, complained to the director. The director said, I'll take care of it, but it still continued. It still continued. It's 2019, JC.
Yeah.
And there's still organizations out there that do this kind of stuff. Now, look, I'm Puerto Rican, right? I find that offensive. I am. Is that surprising?
It is. I just thought you were Ricky. I didn't know.
What do you mean?
I just saw you were Rick. I didn't know you were. Sorry.
I don't know.
And you're so white. No, it's fine.
Yeah, I'm Ricky and you're so white. Right. That's what it is. Right?
Oh, man. Anyway,
so, dude, at the end of the day, there it is again. At the end of the day, train your freaking managers. Let your managers know. Train them.
Ladies and gentlemen, breaking news. Words that have never been spoken before in brand new advisement for the HR world. Coming to you live directly right now on HR Talk, we present Ricky Baez with a very important message.
Train your managers.
This has been a special news bulletin. Like brand new shit.
JC, you know? We say this shit every time on this show, yet we still see stories of this coming up.
You just got me to swear. Like, I was doing my best not to swear during the entire show. 1:26 into the show, and I swear. We're never going to get on NPR at this rate. I'm telling you right now.
It's okay.
Yeah, I'm over that.
Right. I'm over that, too. So, look, if we filter almost everything we say, doesn't that take away the authenticity of the show? I mean, come on. If I have to watch what I say every time, if you have to watch what you say every time, come on, dude. Those laugh tracks are killing me. But yeah, man, look, if there's any type of advice that we give, HR advice to anybody out there who really wants to check that box of the HR part of the show, this is it. Train your managers. Make sure your managers understand what they can or cannot do at work. Now, look, JC, you cannot change the opinion of a manager. You cannot change their opinion, but you can dictate how they act at work. Was that beatbox? Who was beatboxing? What was that? Dude, you need to stop.
I have a clip here. That's all it said was H1A spitting. And this was recorded in your studio.
What?
Yeah, I think that was the face of the franchise, tell you the truth.
Was that really?
Yeah, no, I'm dead serious. I was looking for a clip to compliment what you were saying. I came across that. Now we're on this whole new path. It's like a whole new world. I feel like this is what's that Aladdin movie, right? Whole new world. Like this is a whole new thing, man. This is crazy.
I'm gonna send him a bill. Good job.
Yeah, no, awesome. I know, right. No, you're not a liar though. I mean, you're not a liar. Sometimes you lie, but you're not a liar. You gotta take the right path. You gotta do the right things. You know?
Okay.
You didn't lie about that.
No, I don't know what you're telling me other than lie about, but okay.
No, you're breaking news bulletin to the managers out there. You're not lying about that.
No, of course.
It's a real
not.
Thing.
Yes.
So with the story, with the unfortunate circumstances, what happened for Mr. Ortiz, if I may?
Here's the funny part. So when he sued, he went to the EEOC. The EEOC went through the process. I believe the EEOC gave him a right to sue letter. So they went to court, and what happened was the employer made a movement for summary judgment. For those of you that don't know, that means that they petitioned the court to have the court, the judge, make a judgment without a jury trial.
Oh, okay.
Just make a decision right there. Yeah.
So then from that, it's just a cash award and everything's said and done?
Yes and no. That's okay. Normally what would happen. But in this case, it went to summary judgment on the side of the employer. the employee, meaning that the employer did nothing wrong, right? Then the employee appealed in the appellate court, and then they said, wait a minute, this employee has enough evidence to show that he does work in a hostile work environment. This needs to go to jury trial. And I don't know if it ended up going there or not. I'm skimming through this, but either it's there or it's not there. But at the end of the day, the court actually moves to go to jury trial, and that's going to end the organization in trouble because they have this employee has enough evidence to support that he's working in a hostile work environment, number one. And number two, they went to the lead of the organization, said, we'll take care of it. Nothing happened continuing the hostile work environment, then citing that the employer can now not say, I didn't know about it. Now they can say, wait a minute, you did know about it and nothing happened, which makes it worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, they're in trouble and that's going to cost a lot of money. So this is so one example.
So, whoa. On the back end, though,
mm-hmm.
they just pay the money. The guy keeps working. The other guy doesn't keep working and they're fine. Or the offending guy gets promoted. And then what happens? What happens to the people? I want to know how the story ends.
Well, I don't see anything like that here.
Okay, it's probably way too early in the process. But typically, hypothetically, what would happen in an ideal situation right here? Like the offending guy,
normally,
he would be promoted to be in charge of the entire place in a different department. And then this guy would get promoted as well. He'd get paid a lot of money. And then there's no training. Everyone goes upon their way. No. And everyone paid a bill.
What should happen is at the end of the court, at the end of the proceedings, the offending employee, which is the manager, should be terminated. There should be some training to all the other managers to ensure this
should,
does not
should be or has to be. Like, I mean,
should be. Sometimes they don't do that unless the court orders it. If the court order, then you have to do it.
Okay.
But the court does not order it, but it will still be a good idea because if it happens again later on, then the damages could be worse because after the last incident, the organization didn't take the steps to retrain the managers.
So is it a risk keeping that person on board then?
Fuck yes. Oh my God, yes. You need to let that person go. But do they do that always? No, not really. And then what happens is the employee who filed the suit, who gets all that money, 9 times out of 10, I would assume that the organization would still keep their job open. But why would that person want to go back there to begin with? They got their money and they're leaving, right? Lesson learned. But in the event the employee wants to stay, depending, I don't know what kind of contract they came up with saying, I'm going to pay you all this money, but you're not going to work for us again. So it depends on what kind of agreement is on there.
Gotcha.
Right?
Okay, either so the second, but you got into the second thing. You were talking about training?
No, correct. So training. So a smart organization would say, you know what? Yes, we do have an issue here. We're going to go ahead and put all of our managers through training and not just check the box training, real training.
Okay,
real
but that, training. That's something that the organization could just opt to do. It's nothing that they would have to be told that they have to do as per any of these rulings or anything like that. This would just be an internal thing.
It depends on the lawsuit. It depends on the lawsuit and also depends on what the EEOC finds. Sometimes in conciliation,
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. What's your question?
No, please continue.
No, yeah. So if the EEO says, no, you will have this training and we will go over there and conduct this training, then you are going to have that train, right? Now, if they're forced to do it, I don't know how engaged management is going to be, right? But the goal is if you end up in that space and you're not forced to do it, you have to take that initiative as a business leader to go ahead and provide that training to your employees anyway. And I mean really in-depth training, not just check the box, not watch a video for 5 minutes that somebody can watch at their desk while they're doing shooting off emails. I mean, let's take a half day, let's lose that productivity, right? And then put them in that training. That productivity is going to be lost, right? That's fine. That's better than going through this again and maybe be hit with a lot of other lawsuits that are going to cost you even more than the productivity you're worried about today. So that's what they need to do and get them involved from the top down. If the CEO isn't there and the top lieutenants are not there, then how can you possibly expect all the other employees to take it seriously if the top brass isn't there?
And all this is a hit directly on the school district, and then that's also a hit on the taxpayers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
It is, man.
Wow.
Think about it. I mean, they got insurance, but still, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It's still, dude, it just baffles me. It really baffles me that today, in this day and age, we're still dealing with this. It really is. Now, here's the thing, right?
Tell me.
So, you mentioned that earlier, because we joke around, right? And back in the Marine Corps, we joked around a lot, and we had a good time, because we're brothers, we're family, right?
I don't joke. I'm pretty straightforward, but I never knew that you were joking for the longest time, and then I realized, I'm not an honorary Puerto Rican, I guess. Yeah. I am so white, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, yeah, no, it's cool.
You were drinking coffee all this time.
Yeah, right, I know. Right. There's all these things that come to light. It's a change in the story.
Right. The point I'm trying to make is that if you're friends outside of work and you continue doing those things outside of work, what ends up happening is once you get comfortable enough, and you do go do this at work, now you're going to have an issue, because it's, again, we're not here to force people to change their belief one way or another. That's not what we're supposed to do. What we're supposed to do as business leaders, as business owners and HR professionals, is to let them know what their behavioral expectations are at work. There's a big difference, a huge, huge difference. So again, lots of training. And look, obviously, training isn't working, or the lack of training is evident, because you still got organizations today that do continue to make these mistakes. Excuse me. And those mistakes keep happening over and over and over again. And then, you know what? And I guess that's a good thing, because that keeps our good friend Dave Miklas employed, because that's how he makes his bread and butter. And again, go on the website is miklasemploymentlaw.com. You'll be finding a lot of the blogs on there. He does a really good job with it. But folks, it keeps happening.
No, wait, though. He paid you to say all that, though, right?
No,
he advertises for this crap here, right?
No, he does not. No, he's a friend of the show. Good Lord, JC.
That's what I'm talking about. And that's what I want people to understand and know.
Yeah.
It's okay to befriend a podcast and get to know the people.
Okay.
It's totally okay.
Absolutely.
But if you also, in turn, if we do something stupid and you talk bad about us, that's fine. If you do something bad and stupid, we're going to talk about you too. It's okay.
That's true.
It's just the world. That's how it works. But if you're looking to give us money so that we could say good things about you, I want you to take a hike and don't contact me.
Yeah, we don't do that.
We don't do that. Yeah, and honest to God, we don't get paid to do this either.
No, we don't.
We joke about like paying the face and the 1099 and all that. We joke about that stuff. But honestly, there's no money in this. If you're looking for money, you're in the wrong spot. At some point in time, it would be nice to put together something where we could maybe solicit donations to kind of keep this going. That would be really nice. I mean, we do have annual costs and fees. We really do.
We sure as hell do.
But at the same time, you could always step in and just book us to come to your town. That's really it at the end of the day. And you want us to come and bring the magic to you live? Okay, we could do something like that. That's fine. You know, that's a different bowl of wax. Trust me.
We can do that.
I can MC an event like no other's brother's mother. And this guy over here on the other side in sunny Central Florida, you want a keynote speaker? You want to hear someone inspire? It's that guy right over there. That's what I'm going to tell you. That's all I'm going to say. That's it. I'm dropping it.
You dropping it? No, you dropped it. That was a good plug there, buddy.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much.
Awesome.
Ricky, awesome. I appreciate it. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, no, please, please. It is the least that I do. No, please. You don't. No, thank you. Thank you. Thank you all.
You should have.
No, seriously, thank you.
You should walk into a Walmart and just have a big speaker with that track right there.
No, thank really. You. Really, thank you all.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. No, come on. David. No, sit down, David. It's fine. Okay, Aaron. Wendy. Thank you, Wendy. Thank you as well. Appreciate it. No, Daisy. So good to see you. Thank you. Thank you all. Yes, okay. Go ahead, sit down. We're going to keep going.
We're done.
We're going to keep going. Thank you. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to continue on with the show. In the meantime, feel free to just stay in your seats. We'll pick this up where it left off in a little bit. Anyways, Ricky, back over to you.
No, that was it. That was a really good really good plug of you just thanking your fans who follow you around everywhere. I'm telling you, that would be great. Just walk into a Tim Hortons and just sit down, put a speaker that play that track, and just talk to empty chairs.
It's not a track. They're in the Rick, you're doing it again. They're here. Guys, no, I know. Rick, you said it's okay. Just tone it down. Tone it down. Please. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Look, guys, at the end of the day, ching, there it is. No, we are done. Anybody out there who has any messages, any ideas for the show, go ahead and send us an email, ebias@biasco, or call us 407-501-8425. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram, hrtalkpodcast.com. Let us know what you think.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm JC. That's Ricky Baez. Stop by rickybaez.com or some shit. Learn out good things. No.
Biasco.com.
Really?
RickyBias.com or some shit. I love that. Now I have to buy that domain name.
This has been HR Talk. I'm JC. That's Ricky Baez or some shit. It's been our pleasure to be here for you this week. Drive safe. Have a good night.